Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Feeling like a boss and staring at the stars. It doesn't matter the cost, cause everybody wants to be famous. I'm calling the shots, so see you over a bar. Doesn't matter the cost.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in to hour two. Sid Fernando joins us now. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Sid, I immediately thought of you. Saturday afternoon late, I'm sitting there watching the racing from Belmont. And here's Discreet Lover upsets the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Son of Repent. And then, you know, earlier, Imperial Hint, the son of imperialism.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, we had this discussion a couple of years ago. I remember the Breeders' Cup when we had just a series of obscure stallions that proved successful, and whether it was Wiseman's Ferry with Wise Dan or E. Dubai and Fort Larned. I mean, it is interesting. You know, they say that every stallion gets at least one good horse, and for two of them to win on the same day like this, Repent, his best son, and in Imperialism's best son, it seems, an Imperial Hint, kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was. And if you look at the West Coast, Skip Shot for the Grade One winner.
That's right. That's right. Vasilika and her performance. Good point. Absolutely. You get this, and it is, you know, mind your biscuits with Posse, who's being held prisoner. It seems he's it's down in
That's
South
right.
America. You get these, and I, you know, there were also some of the international names that popped up, that Newspaper of Record, who was spectacular on Sunday, and we've brought up Lope de Vega before. His name has come up, and he gets nice horses. Valdori, Asiatic Boy, another one from the weekend. Really a kind of an eclectic collection this weekend.
It's really amazing, because these are stallions that have no chance to be what we call commercial for a variety of reasons. One, foremost, is, you know, they don't have the foal crops to compete. So you never really know, what these horses might have done. But the fact that they can get you a really good horse like that, is something to think about. It makes you pause, like, how good could a horse like this really be if they were given some type of opportunity? But it's, you know, it's all based on market conditions, Steve. You know, what's popular. You know, a horse like Skip Shot, for example, by Skip Trial, you know, even though he won the Grade Two swaps, you know, was a good racehorse. The demand is really for the sales arena, and you know, a horse like that wouldn't be desirable in a sales arena. So, as the game has become more commercial, with commercial breeders dominating and buyers, you know, buying, it's really certain you have to have, you know, credentials for that commercial marketplace. And there was an interesting tweet that Ray Pollock actually put out. It didn't get much traction, but I'm going off the top of my head, but he pointed out something about there's like 21,000 foals, and what was it, something like 100 stallions or whatever controlled 28% of the foal crop with an average of over, maybe it was 300, I don't know, but whatever it was, that small select group controlled like 5,800 foals, which was like 28% of the foal crop, and the other 1,788 stallions accounted for the rest with a foal crop of 8.8 average. So you see that very high percentage that I think Ray said 2.8% of the stallions in North America control 28% of all foals being, you know, the foal crop of the last year, 2017. 28% of that foal crop, which was roughly 5,800 out of 21,000 foals, was controlled by 2.8% of the stallions out there. It's about it. So that's a pretty telling figure right there, Steve.
Well, and that the economic models, the laws of economics are going to govern
exactly.
Anyway, I mean, the 80-20 rule, I mean, by all rights, 20% of the stallion population should account for, you know, 80% of the probably the highest valued horses. I mean, it's the 15, the other number is 1585, which might correspond somewhat to that too. Those kinds of economic models, they cut across all, you know, all disciplines. It is interesting.
It's all free market. You know, it's a free market thing, and that's what happens. And you know, the structures get changed, but the bottom line when we're speaking about specifics is, you know, all of these horses. Skip Shot was a good racehorse, a Grade Two winner. Imperialism by Lang Fuhrer was a good racehorse, as was Repent. Repent actually started off quite promisingly, had a colt on the Triple Crown Trail in his first crop, I kind of remember. You know, won the San Vicente or something like that out in California. They were, you know, the one takeaway from this is if you're a small breeder or a small buyer or a small owner, you might be able to take, you know, a shot with some horse and succeed. And so ultimately, regardless of market principles, good horses can come from anywhere. And that's what keeps everybody in this game.
Exactly. And the conversation I had yesterday, as it happens I'm losing track of days. Today's Wednesday, so it was Monday, with Uriah St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
I thought his attitude was really telling. You know, he liked when he bought. When he bought Discreet Lover, he thought, "Yeah, this got the look of a nice horse," and paid $10,000. And when he breezed him the first time, he liked the way he moved. He liked everything about him. He said, "Yeah, this horse could be all right." But he said, if he turned out to just be a cheap horse, he said that would have been fine too. And he, you know, the fact that this horse has you know danced the dances and has matured into you know a top flight and high quality is he going to be an elite? You know, is he a Breeders' Cup Classic? You know, likely type? No, he probably. I don't even know if he falls into the Volpone category. But he, you know, what he's fashioned out of this horse for $10,000 is really inspiring. I mean, it gives everybody you know the hope. We've had a bunch of these conversations, in fact, of late.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about this racing game because, you know, people. One of the big laments is that you know. It's become, you know, pretty top-heavy with a small number controlling a large amount of horses. But the Uriah St. Louis example, Steve, it was so much more commonplace, you know, when you and I were coming up in the 70s and the 80s and stuff. There were horses that, you know, weren't from big lines, trained by regional guys or smaller guys, that frequently, it was just part of the tapestry of the game that, you know, you could have a chance, as he pointed out, even for, you know, with the $10,000 horse like that. And, for me, it's great to see that because it's one of the things that I've always kind of advocated to groups and to the ruling bodies that, you know, try to market advertising to the big groups that are trying to portray the sport. The sport really has to be portrayed for all people in a way, because racing in America is reflective of the country. Such a great democracy where anybody has a chance to achieve something, you know. And I know after the particularly after the economic collapse in 2008, what it did was it really wiped out the bottom part of the industry. The top, of course, had the wealth and the resources to stay in, and after the business was kind of reshaped, even more so after 2008, it just kind of highlighted how the top of the game was the game that was able to recover the quickest, but. These are examples for people wanting to get into the game. And I've talked to small trainers, guys just starting out. In fact, I was texting with a guy the other day. You know, these are the kind of stories where it's still possible in this country to compete in this game. And, you know, I think it's great for the sport.
There's actually several portions of this discussion that can be woven together, and you mentioned Skip Shot, and you know that was Dorochenko, the Olympia star, and their involvement here, and then Mikhail Yanikov, who you know handles the Olympia star efforts as well, and bred Vasilika. You've got a bit of an obscure pedigree line involved here, and you know some of these things that we talk about, Sid. When you look at the names involved, and I know that a few different pedigree writers jumped right in. I know John Sparkman wrote about the Teddy line involved here. I saw somebody else wrote about Repent, and you know that this is kind of an interesting coda to, you know, to his last few notable crops. I think he's in Trinidad standing privately. Imperialism is standing up in Alberta, I think, or Manitoba, or you know, he's somewhere in Western Canada. There's always a few of these. When you look at pedigrees, in fact, how do these kinds of stallions get business? And you know, we talk about the broodmare compatibility analysis, and of course you got the Enoch system that, you know, people can look at their mares and get a nicking report. I mean, what is the way that the under the radar stallions that may have potential, how do they get noticed?
Well, I mean, in terms of our company, for example, if you you know, when you go into Enix, for example, you can get free nicks on horses. That's because the stallion owner will enroll the stallion in Enix, and that means that anybody can get in and run a free nick on those horses, right? So we always advocate from our company, you know, obviously we have all the top horses in Enix, every major Kentucky farm, but Steve, we actually make a concerted effort to go to small breeders in small states, and we give them a concession. For example, if you stand a stallion for a stud fee of $10,000 or over, I think it's $895. But if it's a stud fee of, if it's less than $3,500, and Carol Murphy, our office manager, would know more, it's only $3.95. So we try to actually work with people at smaller farms to make sure that they enroll their stallions, so that once you enroll your stallion in any of these programs, and I'm just talking about our program because you brought it up, but if you put the horse in, for example, Skip Shot, I don't even know if he's in or not, I doubt he is, but what that happens is, say somebody goes in to nick their mare, you have to be enrolled in the program for a mating to come up. We have something called mare match. And what that is if you put your mare in the system and you specify, say, a stud fee range, a geographic area, it'll give you the best nicks for that mare with the stallions in those regions, if they're enrolled in Enix, for example. So if, for the sake of argument, say a horse is in British Columbia or some obscure area, or even if it's in Kentucky, and you want a stud fee range of $2,500, and it's got to be, say, in Kentucky for the sake of argument, you put it in, you mare in, and it'll spit out all the stallions in that stud fee range, in that region, that nick with your mare, a nick or better. And if your stallion's in Enix, it'll come up. Now, if it's not enrolled in Enix, it won't come up. So in terms of our company, that's something we always advocate. Obviously I'm talking about a product of our company, but it's actually a really worthwhile endeavor for smaller stallion owners to have their horses in, because it gives them a chance to compete with, established guys, and it, you know, lets people know that at least a stallion is out there, you know. It's very difficult to keep track of stallions, and since we're in the business of actually finding where horses are and what's happening, it's extremely difficult. Stallions move from place to place. But this is a really good way to keep a horse available to breeders at a, you know, obviously, a, you know, very inexpensive fee. And it's really as a service to breeders to be able to do something like that.
Well, register your stallion, especially if you got a new one. And you know, you really opened my eyes last week when you went through that litany of new stallions. I was amazed that we're already up to, I think, 18, I think, or give or take. And
exactly. And this is exactly one of the reasons why, you know, people are starting to do matings right now.
Sure.
So. You know, for good or bad, some people, you know, like, oh my God, you guys created a huge thing, and now people want to know what the NIC is. And yeah, you know, that's some the feedback I get frequently from stallion farms. It irks them. At the same time, they like it as a marketing tool for their own horses. But the main thing is, if people are doing the mating right now, and your stallion's not in, I mean, you know, but people want, stud farms would like their stallion to be in consideration, so that's why they end up putting them in. Of course, the more expensive farm and the more expensive stallions, it's no problem for them to do it. It's one of the reasons why we have a three-tier system, because we're kind of cognizant of the smaller guys, and, you know, we try to make allowances, but I really absolutely suggest and recommend anybody to put their stallions up, whether it's our system or other systems, just to put them out so that people know that your stallion is out there and available. You know what I mean?
Well, and of course, there's, I can tell you from my own experience when we were, you know, when I was just, you know, knew that at some point, different filly or mare was going to get bred, and I would, you know, go into, you know, into a program and do, you know, just some random, you know, to see how they matched up, especially New York. And a lot of times, I mean, if you're somebody that likes and believes in the, you know, the scoring systems that, you know, that govern a product like Enix and Mare Match, mm-hmm. you'll be surprised at there. You know, it's well worth experimenting with, you know, with some fairly offbeat stallions and price ranges.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Because you'll be surprised at what might be a, you know, an A double plus NIC, you'll see markers in a hypothetical foal that you really might like. I mean, that's why you do it. And,
right.
And so it's an exercise worth making. I got to ask you about on this similar storyline. I had Kathleen O'Connell, who we think the world of, and mm-hmm. she's got maybe the most under the radar 2-year old heading toward Breeders' Cup potentially of anybody.
Right.
And this came out of the Florida Stallion race, the In Reality on Saturday. Well defined, a son of with distinction. He's already a gelding. But how much experience have you had with Gil Campbell? Gil and Marilyn Campbell have been stalwarts in Florida for years, and he's experimented with offbeat stallions.
Oh yeah. Gil Campbell, we've known Gil Campbell for years, Gil and Marilyn Campbell. I mean, they've been clients of ours. They were longtime clients of Jack Works before he died as well. And Gil, you know, what I really like about the Campbells, Steve, they have, as you pointed out, in the Florida business, they have stud stallions, a variety of stallions, from unraced horses to European race horses, all with really great pedigrees, and succeeded at their Stonehenge South facility, and at an unbelievable pace. He's one of the top breeders in Florida, and the success they've had repeatedly tells you that they know what they're doing. I mean, they stood, if you'll recall, Sword Dance, the Nijinsky horse out of a Secretary of Mare, European race by Coolmore. They take this horse, he's a turf horse, a stamina horse, and they bring him into the Florida climate. And of course, you know, you would think, what are you doing? The horse succeeds. He becomes one of the iconic sires in Florida. You know, he sired Marlin, who won the Arlington Million. He also sired another Catherine O'Connell horse, and one of your favorites, Blazing Sword. Another horse that they had unraced was the 49er horse, Westacre. Unraced horse, Bill Campbell stood him. He ended up, his claim to fame, even though he was a very good sire, is sired Ivana Vinolat, who became the dam of Songbird.
Yep.
It's really what they've done is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I asked Kathleen whether, you know, whether they would go to the Breeders' Cup, and all she would say was, "Well, maybe." He said, "You know, it'd be nice for Campbell, but you know, he wasn't. You know, he wants." You know, he wants a horse for long term too, and certainly on number power, it seems that the horse fits. Speaking of number power, Sid, I got to bring up what went on not only at Timonium yesterday. The Eastern sale was okay, no fireworks, but there were fireworks at Goff's at Orby, and Phoenix Thoroughbreds just continues to be on a mission, it seems, and they turned back no less than Coolmore yesterday.
Yeah.
At the sale
for the Alice Springs full sister.
Yeah, the sister.
Yeah,
the Galileo.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they have the expensive purchases here at Keeneland. They're going to be selling Dream Tree, so the program appears to be that they're now buying even bigger price horses than they were, and they're cashing out once they succeed with some of these fillies. Anyway, if Dream Tree is going to be an example, it's really amazing where these guys just come up, and you know, they've been on a real good roll. They're one of the newer entities out there buying. They've gone through some turmoil. Looks like they, you know, with Carrie Radcliffe, their initial buyer, leaving, then her husband or ex-husband, the trainer, Jeremy Nocita, out of the operation. But they, you know, they continue to function and seem to be growing. And have really thrown their hats in at the deep end now, at the very top.
You mentioned their activity at Keeneland, 21 head, $8.8 million, and yesterday $2.3 million for that Alice Springs sister. It was there were plenty of fireworks at Goff's yesterday, and Sid, looking forward to a little international flavor folded into this weekend. Another Super Saturday in store, but Sunday the Ark, and apparently it's going to be very firm, so that may affect some decisions. Some horses may divert, including Cracksman, toward the Champions Day, October 20th at Ascot. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens there. And you know, a quick survey of anything that caught your eye, you know, in terms of actual racing on the racetrack over the weekend. We mentioned Discreet Lover, Channel Maker, with a that breakthrough Grade One win. Mentioned the 2-year-old turfers. The candy things, ride.
I'll bring up a couple of things. One in general, it was a very big weekend for various branches of the 49, the Mr. Prospector line. Steve, you just brought up Channel Maker, who's from the Smart Strike line of Mr. Prospector. He's by English Channel, and Smart Strike has three really good sons. English Channel, who is a turf horse champion, and now has his, got English Channel Maker. We've discussed Smart Strike's most famous son, Curlin, who's at Ellendale and is one of the elite stallions in the game, obviously. And another son of Smart Strike, looking at Lucky, he was represented by Accelerate on the other coast, okay? So that's the Smart Strike branch. They're well known for older horses, too. Smart Strike himself was kind of a later maturing horse. If you look at Curlin, classic winner, but didn't race at two. Looking at Lucky was more of the precocious one of them, a champion 2-year-old, but nevertheless a classic winner as well. And English Channel was a turf horse, races an older horse. All three add age to their offspring, make the horses get better with age. They run a long time, and Accelerate is an example for looking at Lucky, and Channel Maker is a great example for English Channel. Also on the West Coast, as you pointed out, game winner Candy Rye has been a phenomenal stallion from the Sappiano branch of Mr. Prospector through Crypto Clearance, very obscure path. You'd mentioned Volpone. Volpone also from that path, Crypto Clearance. But this one, Argentine bred Candy Rye. An example, Steve, of a horse that has the same type of form, you know, great, it was an outstanding racehorse, but, you know, could have been just swallowed up by commercial lines. Ironically, he actually began his stud career with John Secura at Hillendale. $10,000 fee. He's another horse that John should get credit for because he made that horse over there before he went over to Lane's End. He's, again, another Mr. Prospector line. Bellafina is a Mr. Prospector line from the Gone West branch. And the Gone West branch kind of splits with Spike Town on one side and Quality, Elusive Quality, Quality Road on the other side. And this is the Quality Road, now Elusive Quality branch of it. Quality Road has just become a phenomenal stallion. A young horse, he's really become an elite stallion. Pavel was his horse. Pavel ran second in the Rodeo Drive. You know, he gets, again, a multitude of different types, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, turf horses, sprinters, like City of Light, all the way through 10 furlong horses. And that's the type of racehorse he was, actually. Set three track records, one at 6.5 furlongs, two at 9. Stayed 10 furlongs when he was second, I think, in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And he's now, you know, getting turf horses as well. His sire, Elusive Quality, was quite a good turf sire. So that's another really strong branch of Mr. Prospector around. And then we haven't even talked about the Unbridled branch of Mr. Prospector, which is the leading branch of Mr. Prospector, really. That branch that specifically through Unbridled Song, Empire Maker, you know that whole story. So it was a big weekend for Mr. Prospector. showcased through various branches. And that's one takeaway. One last takeaway I'll tell you is the most impressive performance was Imperial Hint for me. Danzig line horse through Langfuhr, Imperialism, now Imperial Hint. I believe he's out of a Mr. Prospector line there, too. That's a great cross. You know, when you think about it, one of the top sprinters, international sprinters, is De Jure. Danzig out of a Mr. Prospector line mare. Well, this is the same kind of cross several generations down. If you look closely at Imperial Hint, he's a small horse, but if you look closely at him, he's very much a Danzig type of horse. You know, he's got that overall look to him. You know, he's got a male look to him, but he's also got a very attractive look. He's got a beautiful face. He's extremely small, but he showcases that speed, and that race, Steve, was just unbelievable for a grade one. I mean, the jock looking back so many times and just easing up on him down in the lane. I mean, I actually got goosebumps watching that race.
Yeah, he's a wonderful story, and you know, it's funny when you mention his size, because he's a smallish horse, but you mentioned Danzig, the horse, as you were saying that mm-hmm. I immediately thought of late in his 2-year-old year, the image that popped in my head was Hard Spun, who.
Yeah.
As a young horse, I mean, he obviously filled out, but he had that squarish look, if you know what I mean. That balanced square, and so does Imperial Hint, and he's a horse that is this fast, even though he may have to, you know, make a couple of strides to equal a bigger horse's reach.
Yeah,
he's so efficient, and that's why small horses can run against big horses, because they may have, you know, a little better balance in some cases. Not that a big horse can't be balanced too, but in terms of keeping up with bigger horses that have longer strides and cover more ground, the efficiency of Imperial Hint is really something, and he's one of those horses that when you watch him gallop, it doesn't look like he's going as fast as he is, and that's one of those things that is amazing about the game. And when you see clockers, you know, watching a work, and they look down at their clock, and then they look down a second time because they're watching a horse. Unique Bella was like that, that was going so fast without looking like they were going fast, and that's the efficiency of the stride.
Yeah, that's a really good point about him, because the way he's got a great, great stride on him. I mean, just efficient, as you say. Really clean, changes lead beautifully. He doesn't look like he's going that fast or you look at the clock. He's also got this, you know, this quality. Well, if you were describing him in terms of physique and stuff, you'd also say he's the horse that had a lot of quality to him. That's a phrase you'll hear from confirmation experts and stuff. And that quality, go back and take a look at photos of them, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's just a look to this horse and a look to his expression. A look at it. I mean, I could pick out his face any day, seriously. Take a good look at his face. And, I mean, he's a beautifully put together horse. He's just small. A lot of the North, that was the trait of the Northern Dancer, you know. Northern Dancer, his sons, Lefard, Nureyev, Danzig, a hallmark of them were, little big men. And, this horse reminds me of a little big man in that sense.
Hmm.
And particularly what they used to say of the Danzigs is that they like to hear their feet rattle, and that's kind of what you see when you kind of see him, just clicks away, and he gets into a rhythm, and he has that really, really strong acceleration, and I don't know, it was a very taking performance for me personally watching it. In fact, after I saw the race, I tweeted that, it was kind of the ease that he won that race was kind of reminded me of a European horse, great European horse, when he won the King George, and that was Mangeau. Just effortlessly won the race and made everybody else around him look like, plow horses. The ease with which they're traveling. You take a look at the way he's traveling and then look back and look at the others. And that's really how you can kind of tell. And that was a really impressive performance for me. And, I hope this horse... he's an entire horse. I mean, he's not a gelding. He's a Imperial Hen.
Imperial Hen?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'd love to see this horse, have a shot at stud, because if I were a breeder, I'd breed to him.
Interesting. And certainly, being on the smaller side has not been a deterrent for a lot of prominent stallions. Hell, English Channel had a huge weekend.
He's a tiny horse. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, 15-2. Sid, before we pull up, there was one name that I had written down that caught my eye this weekend because it dotted a bunch of entries in key spots, and Bellafina being one of them. Diamond King
Oklahoma,
and this obviously is Joe Minor, JSM Equine,
right.
And you brought up Quality Road, and it reminded me that I had made a note about Joe Minor, who was all in early on Quality Road. He absolutely, maybe before anybody, latched on, and John Greathouse as well.
Yeah.
And it's paying the dividends here now.
Absolutely, and both those guys are friends. Joe Minor consigns with Four Star, which is, part of the Great Houses. As a matter of fact, I believe Diamond King was a Four Star graduate as a Keeneland September yearling. Yeah, he was. He made $55,000 as a yearling, and then got pinhooked and made $235,000. Great House. John Greathouse, of course, one of the first good quality roads was Blofeld that he raced.
Right.
They were very sharp and on Quality Road. Quality Road is at the other end of the spectrum that we've been talking about. He's a very tall horse. They list him at 16.3. I've seen him. They're going to hate me if I say this, but I think he's 17 hands, Nobody likes to list the stallion at 17 hands because people think that's a little over the top. So the really big horses become 16.3, and the really small horses become 15.2.
that's like yielding is good and soft is yielding, yeah, and
right,
good is
exactly
firm.
Yeah, exactly. And so like if you saw a horse like Refard, and I think they generously put him at 15.2. I mean, in my opinion, he was like maybe at the most 15.1. And then you see a horse like Uncle Mo, and they got him at 16-3. And, I mean, you see Uncle Mo, and you're going, wow. I mean, this horse, when I saw Uncle Mo on the track, I thought he was 17-hand. If you take a look at him right now at Ashford, I mean, he's scary.
He looks so imposing. I saw, you know, when a lot of people after, you know, typically around Triple Crown season, you know, as the season's winding down, people that toured the farms, and you see them with pictures with stallions that they got to see. And he is just filled out in every nook and cranny. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, Steve, there used to be a thing where, you know, people kind of were always wary of really big horses that stud just because of consistency. But horses like Curlin, Uncle Mo, Quality Road, we've really had a big run of big horses lately. It may well be that they've been given, people are going more because of they do and can produce a pleasing auction specimen, you know. But
good point.
Yeah, but these horses are really succeeding. On the other end, you get the, as you pointed out, the English Channel. And if you look at the leading sires by Grade One winners this year, you've got Quality Road with 5 leads, and he's, as we say, 16-3. He's a really attractive horse too. In second is the 15-2 I don't know what counting that list is at. Maybe they say 15-3, so we'll just go with that. But you get on the with 4 is English Channel, and English Channel's yearlings, for example, only average 23,000. There's a value sire right there.
Well, we invite everybody. It came up today, actually. Enroll your stallion with Work Thoroughbred Consultants, E-Nix, 510-490-1111. And Sid there to help you and to give you all the details, the office, no matter where you are, regional program. We talked to Deb Easter earlier today in Virginia, everything going on there, and all the new stallions, particularly in the Maryland and New York and Pennsylvania. And be sure you're in the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Not at all. I'm glad it came up.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Sid Fernando, everybody, and we got plenty to look forward to as we inch closer to Breeders' Cup. And we'll talk to Sid next week. We'll have some more results, including the 2-year-old boys and girls from New York and from Kentucky. Keeneland, of course, they're going to draw the Saturday card today for both the venues. And just everything that is starting to kind of congeal. It's all coming together. Sid, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Steve. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
Sid Fernando, folks, and Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And, you know, it's funny, it brought up Joe Minor, and, we're doing the work we always do with the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund and the breeders, and we're going to do a 4 Breeders' Cup, and after, through the next couple of months, we're going to do some features. Not that we don't talk to breeders, because we do, but we're going to do stakeholder in focus kind of thing, and we're going to reach out, and I've done them, just as natural outgrowths of certain performances on the racetrack. The conversation with John Gunther, for instance. But I'm going to do. I've been wanting to do this, and a good tie-in for the KTDF. So we're going to let them let the some of the owners and breeders tell their stories and you know how they approach the game and what they've learned. You know, not all you know, you learn from mistakes and you also learn from other successful operations. They you know, the breeding's like professional sports like any other, right? The you see what's being done and what's working and you emulate it. Well, we're going to take a top of the hour timeout, a little past the top of the hour. Jeremy Plonk is going to join us, overdue for a visit with JP. Countdown to the Cup and Keeneland kickoff on Friday. And Jeremy does the work so you don't have to. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.